A treat. Okay, Stuart Shepherd is the one looking for people who will pray for rain on a certain day and a certain time in a certain location. John, if we can ever play that sound, that would be pretty funny if it's short enough. Can you believe the Focus on the Family? What are they doing? Pray for torrential rain if we can't stop them. What are they going to ask for next? Hail, locusts, fire, brimstone? What's wrong with them? Can't they let the Democrats have a little bit of fun? What's wrong with you in Colorado Springs? Stop it. Just stop it. Okay, we're gonna cue it up and play it. We can't resist. Okay, let's go ahead and play Focus on the Family. This is Stuart telling you to pray for rain.
Hi, I'm Stuart Shepherd. This is Stoplight. Would it be wrong to ask people to pray? Would it be wrong if we ask people to pray for rain? Okay, not just rain, abundant rain, torrential rain, urban and small stream flood advisory rain. Would it be wrong if we prayed for rain on, say, a particular night at, say, a particular location? No, say the evening of August 28th, right here at Mile High Stadium in Denver. During the primetime TV hour, when a certain presumptive nominee is set to give a certain acceptance speech at a certain Democratic National Convention. I'm talking umbrella ain't gonna help you rain. Not flood people out of their houses rain, just good old swamp the intersections rain. We're not asking for hail the size of canned hams or lightning bolts to set the bunting on fire. Just rain. Beautiful rain. Network cameras can't see the podium rain. Attendees can't walk back to the indoor arena without wishing for hip waiters rain. I know, you might ask, why would I pray for that? Well, I'm still pro-life. And I'm still in favor of marriage being only between one man and one woman. And I'd like the next president, who will select justices for the U.S. Supreme Court, to agree. So I'm praying for unexpected, unanticipated, unforecasted rain that starts 2 minutes before the speech is set to begin. Would it be wrong to pray for rain? I don't have any special insights or special connections. I'm just an ordinary guy who's looking for people, lots of people, who feel like I do, to pray for rain. Now I know there'll probably be people who'll pray for 72 degrees and clear skies, but this isn't a contest. But if God decides, and it's always up to God to decide, if God decides that rain of biblical proportions would be a good and proper meteorological condition for that evening, we'll see it and we'll say that it is good. And if he decides it's not really necessary, I'm okay with that. I'll still trust in his wisdom and I'll rest peacefully knowing that lots of us offered up a humble prayer request. Would it be so wrong if we asked people to pray for rain?
What a waste of a good sense of humor and a fairly decent vocabulary. Oh, my God. Okay, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Can we talk? Stuart Shepherd, you sad little person. You can't pray for peace in our time. You can't pray for people to be healed. You can't pray for AIDS to disappear. You can't pray for people to have health insurance. No, you have to pray to rain on the parade or the stadium attendance on our community credentialed people in Invesco at Mile High. Nice job, Focus on the Family, living up yet again to your reputation as one of the unholiest organization there has ever been. I can't speak for the mind of the Almighty, but I can tell, you know, and how presumptuous of you. It'll be okay with me if God doesn't do what I want. The chutzpah, man, the chutzpah. Pray for torrential rain. I pray for rain to rain down on your head like drops of mercy from heaven, to paraphrase Shakespeare. May the rain of compassion of the Almighty inspire you to respect people as you respect yourself, to love your neighbor as you love yourself, which, after all, is in the beginning parts of the Bible. Maybe you don't read those anymore, but in your Bible, they're at the beginning. Start at Genesis. It's just amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. Thank you so much, Nick in Loveland, for giving us that tip. We won't begrudge you listening to another radio station since you picked that up this morning. 9:11 in the morning. Thank you for joining us. We'll take it. Oh, my goodness. And we do need to laugh. So I'm glad we started this hour with a terrible accident on I-70 and E-470 this morning. We need to laugh, and we need to laugh because our economy is in the tank. And also, I wanted to talk to you about pop culture. You know, Barack Obama has a Facebook page, and he loves the two Godfather movies, and he's a big SportsCenter fan, which we know, which is great. But it's interesting. Do you know what he picked as his favorite movie as a TV president, or movie or TV president? He picked Jeff Bridges in The Contender. Jackson Evans, who's one of my favorites, his lecture to Joan Allen, who's the vice president. Remember, she has a sex scandal in her background. He stands up for her. The way he orders sandwiches in that film is hilarious. And Barack Obama likes that, too. He confounded. He says, "Is that what you're looking forward to? Confounding the White House with obscure sandwich requests?" Absolutely. I want to test them. I want to see if I can get any sandwich I want. Yes, because if I ever go to the White House as a visitor, I'm going to ask for an anchovy cream cheese lettuce parsley sandwich that I ate earlier this week. I know. I just made John Turk's toes curl. Ew. So, John, I stumped you earlier with this question. Who likes MASH and Dick Van Dyke the most?
You did stump me earlier. I would have said John McCain.
And it's not. It's Barack Obama.
I would have thrown Matlock in there, too.
Matlock in there for John McCain.
Or Murder, She Wrote?
Yeah, Murder, She Wrote. But you know what John McCain actually likes, according to Entertainment Weekly? He likes The Wire, which is a searing, amazing look at cops, journalists, and ne'er-do-wells, crooks, criminals, and scary people in Baltimore. Seinfeld, Dexter, which is about a mass-murdering M.E. who does good work in his spare time. And then Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is one of my favorite shows ever, who is actually by the guy who actually did write most
now,
of Seinfeld.
I can't see John McCain sitting around watching Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Excuse me, I can't either. I would, you know what I would have done as that reporter? I would have said, So what's his sidekick's name?
Tell me one episode,
name?
Yeah.
Yeah, tell me the plot. What's his wife's name? What's going on, you know?
I doubt it. I don't think any... I think he was, like, briefed on what to tell these people
exactly.
What he enjoys.
Well, you know what his
favorite... What are the hippest shows on TV right
hippest
now?
Hippest shows on TV. Curb Your Enthusiasm is hilarious. And you know what? I haven't watched it lately enough. I love Entourage, too. That's one of my favorites. Dick Van Dyke, you can tell. I guess what they have on is Nick at Night a lot in the Obama household. Seems like the kids rule the roost in terms of the TV watching, because the last movie he saw out was Shrek 3. The last movie McCain saw, by the way, was Indiana Jones and the Skull of Crystal, or whatever its real title is. I haven't seen it because I hear that he's really crabby in that movie, and I don't want to ruin my vision of prior Indiana Jones interpretations. 303-713-7600. The winner on the internet, though, was The Crypt. So who was your favorite TV president? You know who, get this for psychological mind melds, John. You know what, the favorite president of John McCain is?
No, huh?
It's the president, David Palmer, on 24, who is the African-American president.
Yeah, no, he was a really good president
on TV.
Oh, he's
a wonderful president on TV.
David Palmer. Wow.
David Palmer. So what does that say about the psychology? Yeah, he's rooting for an African-American president. Yes.
Weird.
I know.
The dude doesn't even know how to use a computer, though.
He doesn't. Yeah.
His wife checks his email.
That's why I'm a little suspect of all this. Come on.
The Wire's for real people that are pretty hip.
Okay. You're going to love his. Yeah, exactly. The Wire's for people who are incredibly hip. And by the way, I have heard Obama in past times say that The Wire was one of his favorite shows. So
MASH and what was it?
MASH and Dick Van Dyke
Come
show.
Come on.
But I guess his wife.
I swear this has got to be a phony article. This has got to be a totally phony article.
No. When you look at his wife's hair, you really, there's a lot of Mary Tyler Moore in that hair, I got to tell you.
Michelle's hair?
Yeah. The little flip.
Know.
Come on. And you know, I have to tell you.
I see it a little bit.
Apparently, one of her favorite characters on TV is Mary Tyler Moore in Dick Van Dyke and in Mary, you know, whatever that other, with Lou Grant. So, The other thing I wanted to mention is, have you seen the Tyra Banks spread where she's dressed as Michelle Obama? It's pretty weird. You know what they did? They staged this whole photo shoot with them in the White House, like her in bed with Barack Obama, the fake Barack Obama. And then they showed her all dressed up as Michelle. And they staged an iconic and very famous picture of the Kennedys in the White House with the little girls under the desk, you know, where John used to hang out.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's standing by looking very Jackie O in an outfit, standing next to the Barack Obama lookalike behind the desk. Very weird. Very weird. I think it's really weird to put them in the White House already. You know what I'm saying? The other thing is, guess who's an ABBA fan?
Who's that?
ABBA.
No. Not Obama.
No.
Good.
No, it's not Obama.
Okay, good.
Obama likes Bob Dylan.
That's good. I'm going to see Bob Dylan in a few weeks.
You're not.
For the first time ever.
I am so jealous.
Yeah, it's
going to
be fun.
You're going to see... Oh.
Going up to Aspen for Labor Day weekend.
Oh, man.
Thursday and Friday night, Widespread Panic. Saturday night, Bob Dylan and Ziggy Marley. Sunday, John Fogerty.
Oh, how fun is that?
And then Monday, Yonder Mountain String Band, kind of a local bluegrass type jam band. But
Isn't that a good weekend of music? I love Aspen.
Aspen
actually.
Jazz even, Fest. It's that jazz thing we do every year.
It's filled with tourists quite frequently.
I'm thinking about surprising the old lady with. Stay at the Jerome.
Ooh, good idea. She's had a rough time lately.
She has.
Great idea.
And I know she's not listening right now. She's at home.
I know.
Home,
I hope she's not.
I know she's not.
Oh, okay, good.
But wouldn't that be sweet?
Great,
I've never
John.
Stayed at the
no,
Jerome, but I hear it's pretty nice.
That's a wonderful present.
It's going to break me, but oh, well, she deserves
it. Oh, yeah. Give her a treat. What the heck? Right. She'll remember you nicely, probably. 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Let's go a little lighter. What was your favorite moment of the week? Your agony of defeat. And in your personal life, what's been your agony of defeat and your thrill of the triumph when you held the torch aloft? I talked about this a little bit yesterday in terms of my own life, but now I want to hear about yours. 303-713-7600. This is the Aaron Hart version of the J. Marvin Show. Stand by for an update on that traffic insane this morning and treacherous with Colorado's Progressive Traffic and John Turk. It is Michelle's favorite is the Dick Van Dyke Show. He says it's pretty up there. He says the kids are all about Hannah Montana, So That's Raven, but he's not sure it's still on. And he likes Barack Obama, SpongeBob SquarePants. He goes up another notch in my estimation. Anybody who likes SpongeBob is my friend. What is it? Woodward? Squidward? I can't remember. Squidward, that's his name. Errol and Greeley, thank you for joining us on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I haven't watched SpongeBob in far too long. Go ahead.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, Errol.
As to my favorite president, be Hal Holbrook and Abe Lincoln, and as far as this rain issue, you know, the Republicans have held absolute control of the Congress and the presidency for the last 8 years. And if they wanted to do something about these wedge issues, they would have done it. So what they've done is they've done nothing so that they can continue to use these to get people to vote against themselves. The reason I called was...
Which is why Krugman is calling them stupid in part, but go ahead.
The reason I called was I was chosen by the major labor unions and the Democratic Party to represent all of working people in America last year in Congress and the Senate. I was standing with Pelosi and Hoyer when they passed the Employee Free Choice Act. I went to the Senate and testified at Ted Kennedy's help committee.
Mm-hmm.
And what I can tell people, your listeners, and if there are any Republicans out there that have enough brains to listen to your show, that it comes down to, after all of the noise and nonsense, it comes down to whether or not we want corporate control of our government or whether or not we want the people to control our government. And that's the vote that they're going to have, and they'll have to make that decision. Also, if you want to give me the time, I will give you the solution to energy.
Quickly, can you do it in, like, say, 20 seconds?
Quick as I can.
Okie doke.
I have a serious energy background. The solution is, and nobody seems to want to listen to this, primary is hydroelectricity. The second is solar film made by a company in Fort Collins, Colorado, called AVA. They have a whole new, brand new technology that's going to change everything to do with solar film. And the third is wind, and they're in that order. And
well, you know,
I wish I had time to explain it to you. I've written a paper. I've sent it to all of the people in Congress. I've given
good.
It to anyone that would pay any attention.
What do you think of that new solar energy storage technology that's coming out of MIT this week that was announced in Science magazine?
Actually, there's a fellow that came out with something that supersedes that just 10 days ago, and he put it into the scientific community.
Right.
And we have yet to see how that's going to work. It might be cold fusion. It might be the real thing.
Wow.
If it is the real thing,
mm-hmm.
then what it is a very special storage battery, for lack of a better name,
mm-hmm.
that you can put anywhere in your home, your business, whatever, and it will absorb all of the electricity you can possibly generate with solar, wind, or hydroelectricity.
Wow, that sounds great, Earl. Thank you, Errol. Thank you so much for your call. I really appreciate it. Sorry we don't have a huge amount of time, but I do want to get as many callers as I can get in this hour. Thank you so much for joining us. This is our last hour together for at least the foreseeable future. I'm very glad to have this countdown to the convention with you. We can talk about anything you like for the rest of the hour. Torrential rain. You know, I'd send a plague on locusts to Colorado Springs, but I have too many friends there, including conservatives. Sam in Boulder, welcome to AM 760 Progressive Talk. Can you believe Focus on the Family sending rain on us, torrential rain?
Yeah, you know, Aaron, I cannot believe that. I mean, I'm fairly new here from the Bay Area, and it's just funny how I was just telling your screener how the lunatic right-wing media will stop at nothing.
Nothing. Praying for rain to crash our party.
Well, I mean, it's ridiculous, and I just heard through a friend of mine that lovely station across the hall from you guys.
Oh yeah,
is basically condemning and putting Obama down at all costs because he's the campaign of the DNC is refusing people to sell their ticket credential for the speech at Invesco. Basically, I mean, God forbid he wants it to be, you know, a sacred event. He realizes it's a historic event. He wants people to appreciate it, and he's. For them to say, well, we don't want tickets sold, they're basically scoffing at them for that. And it's just funny.
Oh, right, because they don't believe
ridiculous.
In free market. Yeah, ridiculous, sad, true. You know, they can do whatever they like. I mean, that's the point of capitalism, right? You can choose whether you want to sell your goods and services or whether you don't. So they're very anti-freedom over there, dang it.
No, yeah, they are. I mean, like, well, you hear me, like, they're actually, the convention, the DNC and Obama, they do not want people to sell them. That's the point.
No, and it shouldn't be. It should be for supporters and for people to get a chance to see it. I applaud their decision. I think it's going to be kind of tough to handle logistically, but I think our task is up to it. The Coloradoans will do absolutely fabulously and well for
change.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
They're great.
It's horrible. Yeah, I think it's going to be great. I mean, like growing up in a very, you know, liberal, positive United States, you know, coming out here, I can't believe it.
It's a little different,
actually,
isn't it?
Yeah, I'm a grad student here, and I was actually forced to go to a conference a few months ago down in at Colorado College, and I was like, I need to get out of here.
You know, El Paso County scares me more than a little. I have to tell you, I wept when I saw Colorado go blue on my little electoral-vote.com site. You know, I went, oh, my country, 'tis of thee, and my home state's turning blue. There must
be. Oh, yeah,
be.
It is. I mean, growing up in a perennial red or blue state, I mean, you're right. It is going to go blue.
I
mean, like, we
I hope
so. Take the country back. We all got to get together.
I can't take it for granted, though. Every one of us has to register people to vote. We have to go out and get out the vote. We have to vote, because they'll try everything.
Exactly. I tell everybody they can steal a close election. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
I mean, they can steal a close election. I'm sorry. If it's not close, they can't steal it.
Exactly. They can, and they have stolen close ones twice, as a matter of fact, in a row.
Exactly.
So welcome from the Bay Area. Thank you for joining us. What do you think about, who do you think his Veep should be? I've been thinking about this in the back of my mind all week.
I don't know. I don't know if I like Evan Bayh. I like Joe Biden.
Evan Bayh is too boring, I think. I think that either Joe Biden or I like Tim Kaine of Virginia.
Yeah, Tim Kaine, a lot of people don't think like him because they think he's unknown, but, I mean, maybe that's what we need.
Maybe we need new blood, you know. Besides, most of the people turning out to vote are going to be younger, and apparently he has a big younger following as well.
And
who
I
up turn the corner.
And
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just say, I'm just going to say I have nothing against Hillary. I just don't like the fact that she felt like she was entitled. That's what I do not like.
Yeah, I think she's sort of like the junkyard dog, you know? It's like, loosen your jaws, let go, and try. You know, I think it must be very hard. If you thought you were running for the top job of the world and you had it in the bag, and then you ran into the train that is Barack Obama, you must be still reeling. I mean, I don't see how you get over that easily. You know,
right.
It's hard to be disappointed, and it takes some time to recover, I think. But given that, she should just fake it till you make it. You know, I mean, stand up for him, speak mostly about him, honor your supporters, but honor them with saying, we want to get involved with health care. Talk about the issues. Don't talk about what you're due or what your catharsis is about. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
She was actually referring to him as her opponent.
I know.
Back home, she was giving my sister actually lives in Palo Alto. I think that's where she was giving this little. There was a fundraiser to help retire her debt.
Which was supposed to retire her debt, which he helped arrange.
Yeah, and exactly. She
with his supporters.
Act of futility, and she kept referring to Senator Obama as her opponent.
I know.
And I'm like, you know, this stuff, you know, with Bill Clinton when he was asked point blank, do you think he's qualified? And he wouldn't answer that.
But yeah, we played that earlier this hour.
Yeah, I just got
earlier
up,
the show.
Yeah,
no.
We need to. That's one thing the Republicans are good at, like uniting. We need to unite. That's just ridiculous.
Amen,
like
brother.
Stuff.
Thanks so much, Sam. I appreciate it. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in for Jay Marvin today, and I'd love to talk to you. We have about a half an hour more together. Please give us a call at 303-713-7600. It's 9:31 in the morning. Stand by for Colorado Progressive Traffic and John Turk. Hi, this is Aaron Hart. Philip Bartel, the protester, has a little story in the Denver Post by Bruce Finley. Boulder protester Mia in China. He was expelled. He's a Buddhist tattoo artist from Boulder. He climbed a light pole outside of China's main Olympic stadium and unfurled a Tibet will be free banner Wednesday. Good for him. With three others, they were all hauled away. They were all expelled. He's back home now. Bravo to you, Philip Bartel. Woohoo! Thanks for standing up for true democracy in China. Thank you. And I also want to tell you the other headline in the Post is about Clinton supporters, about Clintonistas, who definitely, the reason that they want to vote, one of them says, and absolutely insists on having a vote, is because she'll feel cheated and she'll feel angry if she doesn't have a vote in roll call. And I guess, you know, the main reason is they feel dejected. They feel like no other woman is ever going to win. Well, you know what? If the Democratic Party can turn around its past history of rejecting, you know, Democrats who run for office, because, you know, unlike Richard Nixon and other Ronald Reagan and other Reese and John McCain, for that matter, the Republicans seem to recycle their candidates when they don't win the first time. We tend to drop them like a hot potato. So my advice for you, Brenda Krause, among others, is get busy and start working for Hillary in 16. Jerry in Colorado Springs. I'm Aaron Hart filling in on the Jay Marvin Show. Good morning.
Hi, Aaron. How are you?
I am swell.
Good.
You?
I'm doing fine. Just a real quick note here, just so you're aware, not everybody who listens to you is a Democrat, and that would include me. I'm a card-carrying Republican.
Dandy. Even
so
better.
I just wanted to give you a call and let you know that I don't want you to ever fear coming into El Paso County.
Good.
You don't have to worry about that at all. Not everybody.
Good, because I like Garden of the Gods, and I like to eat there, and I love the Broadmoor.
Well, I just wanted you to know that not everybody who might be a Republican is evil or sinister and would not welcome you with open arms into El Paso County.
You know, Jerry, I have them in my own family, too. And might I add, my brother, who, you know, I don't ask him necessarily how he votes, but let's say he's more conservative than I am. He is one of the best businessmen I have ever known. Why? He
right.
pays his people above scale. He trains them for higher jobs. He has the most loyal cadre of workers I've ever seen in my life. Some of them have been working for him for 20 years since he was a teenager. You know, it's amazing, more than that, actually. But anyway, he is just one of the best bosses ever. And he's generous and he's kind and he takes them on vacation. And, you know, I mean, he treats it because he knows the best investment he can make for his business is having workers who are loyal, who are trained well and paid well.
Absolutely. I agree with that wholeheartedly. I just wanted to point out also that as far as like my own family, there are Democrats in my family as well. we don't always agree on all the issues and whatnot, but at least we are open and can spark some real insight into debating the issues. I think one of the things, though, that I do want to point out is that, you know, with regard to this whole situation that happened with Bill Clinton being, you know, so-called a racist now, I think that is really completely far-fetched. I don't think he's a racist. I don't think he's ever been that way.
He's a racist. I think he used racial code, though, to try to defeat Barack Obama in South Carolina.
I'm not saying that that isn't necessarily true. I'm just simply saying that probably what they should have done, as far as I'm concerned, just kind of laughed it off and a lot of the situation. And, of course, with the John McCain ad that was about, you know, with Britney Spears and Paris Hilton, I really felt like that possibly that the Obama camp should have probably just laughed about that. And
they did. Paris Hilton got the best laugh about that, and it's the most popular response.
I actually liked your energy policy. I thought it was the best of all of them.
Well, that's because it's a hybrid, and it's mostly Barack Obama's, by the way. It is Barack Obama's. But go ahead.
But anyway, I also, I don't know, when everybody looks at the whole situation, I think we've got certainly a wonderful campaign going on between both candidates, and I just want to wish them both well. I hope that everything does go well with the Democratic National Convention in Denver. I don't want to wish
You don't want torrential rain to strike us?
No, I mean, I'm a fond admirer of Focus on the Family myself. However, I do not want rain to come down with hornets and everything else.
I think it's kind of a waste of God's. Isn't it kind of a waste of God's time? I mean, I wouldn't mind if you prayed for rain for out of luck Colorado farmers who need rain desperately.
Yeah,
but to
right.
pray for it to ruin a political event is really kind of childish and stupid, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I agree with that. And I'm on my way to Nebraska right now to attend a friend's wedding, and it's been drizzly and foggy out here on the Eastern Plains. And
be careful.
It's great though. The sun is actually starting to come out, so it looks like it's going to be a beautiful day. I just wanted to call and let you know that I appreciate your insights. I may
thank
not
you,
agree
sir.
With everything that you guys say, but I have enjoyed listening to you guys regard to your position.
Thank you, and I appreciate your listening. Jay and I both appreciate having a mixed bag of listeners. Absolutely, not to put you in a bag. Thank you very much.
Day.
Drive safely. I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760 Progressive Talk. We've got lots of calls. I just want to also remind you that this article in the Post, I just voted on it, and deliberately I voted don't care just to see not to alter the yes-no vote. And there's only 6.4 of us who don't care about this, and I really do care. I don't mind if Hillary's supporters get to vote for Hillary during the Democratic National Convention, if that's what they need to feel better. Okay, just remember that when that happens, she's going to come across with even less delegates than before. That's, by the way, running 64% to 28% in the 328 people who voted on the Denver Post poll. You know, the Clinton backers may want to vote, and you may need a vote for your catharsis or your psyche or whatever, but the reality is she'll come out with even less delegates than she had before because she's lost some in the process. So just so you know, I don't think it's going to make you feel better, but I could be wrong. But if it's about principle, you know, but this doom and gloom prediction, I'm going to die before there's a woman president, you know, live long and prosper, and I hope you get a woman president in your lifetime. It just may not be Hillary. Let's go to Jane in Denver. Hi, Jane. Welcome to AM 760 Progressive Talk. Good morning.
I guess I'm calling because I'm a Hillary supporter and I'm someone who maybe can shed some light on the confusion everyone seems to feel about why there are Hillary supporters that aren't kind of towing the line this year and, you know, unifying with the Democratic Party.
Yeah, I don't understand. I really don't.
I know a lot of people don't understand, and I think what's really interesting is that there's so many of people that I know that, you know, we're not the crazies that are on the websites or, you know, doing these things at the convention, but we're all kind of like just quiet with each other. We only talk to each other because we just get, you know, lambasted by
Reverse has happened to me. I've been screamed at twice by Clinton supporters. And I mean screamed at in the face, turning purple, screaming.
Well, and I've had that from Obama supporters and actually
really?
The caucus. Yeah.
Ew, that's awful. I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, yeah, I mean...
It's wrong on both sides. Let's just agree to agree on that one. Well, explain more about how you feel, though. I don't want to step on what you're trying to say, so go ahead.
I think that there are two parts of it, and the one that I think is probably the main part is really it's an anger at the Democratic Party and feeling like, you know, after years and years of feeling like this was the party that was pro-woman, we sort of stepped on this year. And Hillary isn't like, you know, our God, like people say, but she's a symbol. And the treatment that we saw her receive, we felt really
What treatment are you talking about other than idiots insulting her at her events? And I do agree there was that. But I didn't see a systematic effort by the Democratic Party to squash her.
Yeah, I did. And I think a lot of people
did. And how so?
I feel that, you know, it was pretty obvious that Obama was selected and not elected. On every turn.
Oh, I don't think that's true. Okay,
well,
I know.
I know you don't. And that's why, I mean,
well, can
I
just interject something real quickly here? Do you know why I think she lost the election? Maybe you haven't heard me before, but here's why I think she lost the election. Her campaign was badly run by the people at the top, up to and including Mark Penn. And what they did, what the critical, and even Bill Clinton says that. We played his sound earlier. If you check out the interview with Kate Snow, the critical mistake that they made was they took caucus states, starting with Iowa, for granted. Because
right.
up in Washington, where I live, which was going to go blue no matter what, and probably for Obama no matter what, people came to my door and asked for my vote. Nobody from Hillary showed up to talk to me. Nobody spoke to me because she wrote my state off. So you know what? She lost because they didn't plan very well. And well, because of the way it was stacked, the way it was changed,
really,
in part because of what Terry McAuliffe and they wanted, they lost.
And I'm calling because I thought, you know, maybe your listeners and you would like to hear the other viewpoint. And
sure,
I've heard all of this a million times. And, you know,
it
gets a lot of play. And I think that the other side actually really doesn't get a lot of play. And there is another viewpoint.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
And I think that there are a lot of, you know, other perceptions. And there is a group. And, you know, I mean, it's not just the 50-year-old, you know, they try to paint it like the 50, 60-year-old women that are crazy, that are poor and all that stuff.
Oh, no.
My friends are like professionals in our 30s. And, you know, we are just.
I saw you at the caucuses.
What's that?
I saw I saw a lot of you at the caucuses.
Yeah, exactly. And I would just say that, you know, I mean, you know, we felt like she was the most qualified candidate by far. And there was just no question in our minds. So that's one part of it, is that we don't feel like Obama is qualified. The second part of it is but that's okay, because, you know, that happens. And, you know, in elections, and you end up that the other person, he's not a terrible guy or anything like that. I could have voted for him, except for what we saw through this primary season. And it was, you know, it seemed like it was, he had been chosen before, and that it was at all costs, it was going to happen. And they had to squash her, and they did squash her. And
how did they squash her? I still don't understand. She won in New Hampshire on the heels of a resounding defeat in Iowa. And, you know, my
like 2 points.
Well, my yeah, but the problem is 2 points is okay. It was close, but close still doesn't count. And the problem is,
well,
cousin personally voted for John Edwards. So there was still more of a choice then. And maybe John Edwards being in the race hurt her some. And that may have been her biggest problem, was John Edwards didn't get out. Do you blame him?
I don't, please. No, I'm not talking about, I mean, I don't want to, it's offensive, you know? It's offensive, some of the things that people say, as if, you know, we're completely crazy for having our viewpoints. If it was just me, if I was the only person that felt this way, then I would say,
can you give
me
any if you were a Republican, if you were anybody, if you were an Obama supporter, I'm still going to ask you, what specific evidence, concrete, factual evidence.
I think Florida and Michigan were really, real, definitely evidence of.
Do you
now
understand
Obama's
what happened with
the delegation?
Do you understand what happened with the rules there, though?
I understand that the majority of the people that were in power on the committee wanted it to come out a certain way, and so they found the rules and they made the rules fit there, so that things turned out the way that they wanted.
That's not true. They violated it because of what the Republicans did in Florida.
No, I do. I understand that. But I also think that if it was on the flip side, my strong sense would be that they would have made it work for Obama either way.
Okay, I'll ask you now. Even with Florida and even with Michigan, she still would have lost.
That's not true.
It is true. But it is true. You see, the problem is she lost because she ignored the caucus states. I know that sounds simplistic, and I know it's not as comforting.
Let me give you another. No, I'll give you another, you know, input or insight.
He wasn't even on the ballot in Michigan.
No, Well, that was his choice.
No, because they agreed to stay off, and she at one point in time said she'd stay off.
Well, then
please remember the facts correctly.
Dodd was on the ballot, and Kucinich was on the ballot. They didn't. They weren't required to remove their names, and you know, they didn't campaign there, so it just was the way it was. He chose that. That was his mistake,
okay,
strategically. It could have gone that way.
I'm sorry.
Have to understand it.
I'm so sorry you lost. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I mean,
You lost, though, factually, even though you believe there was this giant conspiracy. I don't believe that, because the Clintons were all poised to take advantage of it the way it was. They had it planned down to a science. We're going to get 30% of the African-American vote. This is the way we're going to do it, even if Barack Obama comes in it. We're going to win the big primary states. We're going to win big, and we're going to be inevitable. And they weren't inevitable on Super Tuesday, and they weren't on February 19th.
Well,
they
go,
planned
okay,
badly,
I
and
that
they lost.
It's actually helpful to go back and talk about the specifics of this, because at the point that we're at
right.
now,
I'm
why. Trying to explain where we are.
Okay,
and
so you feel
is,
hurt,
I
you feel cheated, whatever
millions.
Rationale
no,
you've come up with that.
We feel like we're not part of the Democratic Party. I changed my affiliation just 2 weeks ago. I don't feel like I'm a Democrat, and I have gone out and actively campaigned for every Democratic presidential candidate since I was 11 years old. And so I really feel like sort of you know pushed to the side.
Wow.
And I don't feel like the Democratic Party is for me.
I
and
think
I
you don't
know
how to lose. All right, hold on. I want to give you more time, but I've got to jump to traffic because we've got some hellacious accidents. Please forgive me, Mike and Terrell. I'll get to you if I can, but I want to give Jane more time because I am challenging you, Jane, because I'm not going to just let you walk over the facts. But I do want to. I don't want to rehash the past with you. I want to talk about why you would do such an extraordinary thing. What happened was Hillary lost. I mean, Barack Obama could have lost. If he had lost, I might still be upset and bitter like you are, but I wouldn't change my affiliation, and I'd vote for Hillary in a heartbeat. So I don't get it. I admit it. 9:50 it is. I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760 Progressive Talk. We'll be back with Jane coming up after we check in with John Turk and Colorado's Progressive Traffic.
And the world
hi there. I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760 Progressive Talk. And we have Jane, a young voter who is severely disappointed with and believes that the Democratic Party stacked the deck against Hillary Clinton, and that's part of the reason why she lost. The number is 303-713-7600. I can't imagine if Barack Obama had lost, Jane, I would have been really upset, I have to say. But Hillary Clinton, I would have said, okay, I'll vote for her, I'll work for her. Maybe not as hard, I will admit, but I would have worked for her. I think she's a fine candidate, but I like Barack Obama better. And it's not because I'm naive or I don't think he's qualified, because I do think he's qualified. We can agree to disagree about that. But I guess I have a question for you, which I'll borrow from a listener who's writing about you, because we do care about you, even if you don't feel cared about by Democrats. He says you sound a little bit like a kid with a sandlot ball who goes home when you aren't allowed to be quarterback. And he said, how would you feel if McCain will agree with anything that Hillary supports? I mean, can you really support? Are you going to go for John McCain, or are you just going to vote for someone else, Jane?
Well, that's a good question. And before I answer that, I do have to say that I have a meeting at 10, and so I'm going to have to cut this short, but I'm happy
okay.
to call back later. Okay.
I wish you could. We're running out of show. I'm going to give you
okay.
I blew off a couple of callers for you, just so you know.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. But I didn't expect it to go as long either. I don't know what I'm going to do, and I think that there's quite a few of us that don't know what we're going to do, and we're looking at all of the different options. And I don't think that neither one of the candidates at this point are my choice. And
if she becomes vice president, would that please you enough to come back?
I think it would. I do. Yeah. I mean, I've said that all along. I don't think there's any hope of that. And that's from, you know, the Obama camp, and all the Obama supporters are the ones that seem to say that no way in hell.
Well, part of the reason is because of Bill.
That's fine. Bill's a great asset, and that someone doesn't recognize that and tries to destroy his legacy doesn't sit well with me either.
Okay.
But, so we don't even want to go there. But
I think they
were
a bit self-destructive. But I don't think she got better as a candidate. I don't think he was as good as she was. Anyway,
but
go ahead.
I do want to say, Aaron, you know, when you mentioned, I believe you that you say that, you know, I think you're reasonable. But there were so many people, and it was so heated during the primary that I was going to vote for Barack Obama without a question. Back in the beginning, I was like, I'm happy with either one of these people because, you know, it's going to be the first, whatever, and
right,
they're Democrats,
right.
And I always vote for the Democrat, and that's the way it's going to go. And so no question in my mind. But throughout the campaign, the Obama supporters were just like, there's no way. I'm not going to vote for her. We can't win because I won't vote for her. And the people I know aren't going to vote for her. There was so much
of
that.
See, I live in a different state, and it was different.
It was really different. I was at the caucuses. I was a delegate. I was on the road to being a delegate, but I gave up my seat. But I mean, I was in it, and I can tell you, it was ugly. And there were so many people that said it.
The people up here in Washington who were ugly were largely Hillary supporters, I have to tell you. It was the opposite of
them.
We
had different experiences, but really different experiences. Because like I said, I was really in the thick of it, and I was really involved, and I was out campaigning, and I was my precinct leader of my caucus. So I know firsthand. And then, you know, I also think that you heard things like, if the superdelegates decide this, then there will be riots in the streets at the convention. And that was, you know, those were like surrogates out there talking for Obama.
Well, I have
and
to say, I have to say,
have decided it.
I don't want superdelegates.
And people think we're babies and taking Mark Toy's sandbox.
I don't think the superdelegates, she was advocating that the superdelegates override the vote of the delegates. And I didn't agree with that either. I have to tell you, that's not fair.
No,
and
that's
it's not
what
right.
I'm talking about. I'm talking about actually the way that it happened, where neither one of them had enough delegates to get the nomination, and the superdelegates their votes would actually put someone over.
Well, I hope your disappointment lessens. We have come to the end of the hour and the end of my time filling in here. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for enlightening us, Jane.
Thank you, Karen.
Again, my apologies to Mike and Terrell, but I thought that was important. Thank you all. Thanks to John Turk, especially Chris Olinger, too. Thanks most of all to you, the listener. Thanks to Jay Marvin for taking some time off. Enjoy the convention. You rock.